I'm getting up there faster every time. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who is going through a similar battle. I was able to share with him, don't give up. Don't give up. Father in heaven, we come before your holy throne again, and we thank you again, Father, for this day that you have granted to us, for this opportunity to gather together, to see your work, to see our brothers and sisters, to hear your voice, and to do those things that you have called us to do. We're asking that your spirit will be upon each and every one of us. Let the words that you have compelled me to say bring glory to you. May you be the speaker and not me, and may they hear the words you have to say today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go back to your Bibles in Genesis chapter 9, we're going to read a little bit more about this covenant that the Lord has brought to Noah and his descendants after the flood. And it's really important for us to look and to see what God is saying. Then God spoke to Moses. It's in chapter 9, verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be a sign in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Notice that verse. When God sees the rainbow, he will remember. Our topic today is God sees. Now, most of us know that little song, "Be careful, little children, what you do, for the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little children, what you do." That can be a little bit intimidating, can it? When you're thinking about God can see everything, I've got to be careful. But today we're going to see that it is so important that we understand that God sees you. He sees everything, knows everything, and he is there to help you. So we're going to look at a few times and things in our lives that might cause us to wonder whether God really sees. We do know that a lot of people are sad today. There is sorrow in the hearts of a lot of people. A lot of people have lost their loved ones. There's sicknesses. There's anxieties. There are things going on in everybody's life that can bring a lot of sadness. We just lost one of our dear sisters, Sister Carla, and it's brought a lot of wondering about her and about her family. And there are so many other things in our lives that can bring us to a point of sadness. But Jesus makes a promise to us. He says, "I am with you. I am here. I am your comforter." When we read, we see that he is the comforter. Didn't he say he was going to send his Holy Spirit that would bring us comfort? So it's wonderful to know that God understands the sadness. He understands the times of loneliness. He's not saying that you're not going to experience it. He says, "Come to me and I will comfort you." Because God is looking and he sees the distress you have. He knows the sorrow that's in your heart. And he can see all of that sadness. He gives the promise that he will also build you up. Have you ever been in a situation where you were just so sorrowful, grieving so hard, you didn't think you could stand? We had an episode in the life of our family with our daughter and our granddaughter where actually our granddaughter was taken away from us very quickly. And I was heartbroken. My heart broke so bad I literally slithered to the floor. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And then I said, but you know what, God? I know you're here and I know you know all about this. And Lord, my granddaughter, my son-in-law, my daughter, none of them died for me. You did. So Father, help me to stand back up and help me to do what needs to be done. To give you a little bit of context, in our mission, we had over 30 people that needed to be fed that afternoon. And I was the cook. And I couldn't cook, slithered on the floor. So I asked the Lord to help me get up. And I got up and I fixed the meal. And everybody was grateful for it. And I stood back and I said, look at there, God. Not only did you heal my heart, comfort me, but you gave me strength. You did what you said you were going to do. You restored my strength in the midst of my sorrow. Now, the ending of that, all the situation was taken care of, and I got to see our granddaughter and help to grow her up. And she's 24 years old and calls me Grandmama. So it's all okay. But it's important to know that God sees. And he tells us in Psalm 147 that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up our wounds. So when you're sorrowful, when you're sad, when you're going through moments of grief, look at what God says. I see it. I know it. And I'm here to wrap myself around you and to bind up that broken heart so that you can go forward and do what God is asking us to do. Our Father loves us, doesn't he? And he cares for us, doesn't he? So even when you're sorrowful, which you're going to have moments of, because Scripture never discounts our emotions, he never tells us that we're not going to have them, but he says, if you will turn to me, I will heal that broken heart, and I will bind up that broken heart. I will pour my love into it, and I will strengthen you and restore you. So here again, we see that God sees and God cares. What about when you're tempted? Our mission statement in the last 2 weeks has been about a woman who had a difficult time with forgiveness. I bet you've never had that problem, have you? Sure we have, because sometimes it is hard to forgive, especially when the person that we're working with and trying to let God change her heart cares nothing about our forgiveness. Hasn't even asked for it, hasn't said they're sorry at all, but we are called to forgive. When we're tempted with different things, and it's not just the unforgiveness, it is anything that you and I are tempted with, God has a promise. He sees your struggle. We heard again today that God said he will finish the work he started in you, right? But we go through this struggle. We have this temptation. Maybe it's something that we repeat over and over and over again until we're able to surrender it. But we have a beautiful promise. We understand it, and even God put it in his scripture. Paul explained the problem. The thing I want to do, I find myself incapable of doing. The very thing I don't want to do is the thing I end up doing. Oh, this wretched man that I am. Who can save this wretched man, Paul says. I thank God through Jesus. So whatever you're struggling with in the realm of temptation, remember that God has a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that any temptation you have, I have, anybody else has ever had, is not uncommon to mankind. When we're going through something, sometimes we think we're the only ones. Oh, I'm the only one that goes this. I'm the only one that's going through this battle. And we can even accuse God of not understanding. But he has given a promise in his word in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation that you are going through that is uncommon to mankind. But he also says, I will make a way to escape it. I'll make a way to get out of it. I will make a way for you to know that I can help you change that situation and change you in the midst of it. Because again, God sees the struggle. He knows what you're going through. Do you think Jesus was ever tempted beyond the temptation in the wilderness? What about when the woman brought in adultery was put before him? That was a situation that he needed to trust the Father. What did he do? He looked down and wrote in the sand. And in most cases, a lot of people believe that he was actually writing the sins of the accusers. Didn't Jesus say many times with his disciples, "Oh, you men of little faith"? I don't read that scripture passively. I don't think Jesus said, "Oh, you men of little faith." I think he was angry. He had to work through that. But then he showed his love and his mercy to them because he knew he needed to override that humanness of him so the godliness of him can come forward. So even with Jesus, there was a way to escape those human feelings and those human tendencies. And we've got that beautiful promise from God that there is a way to escape. 2 Corinthians tells us he's even given us weapons of warfare that are not normal in this human life. They are super. They're powerful. They're spiritual. And they can tear down any stronghold. Anything that's trying to lift itself up against the power of God and the knowledge of God in your life, those weapons will help tear down those things. So when you're tempted, don't be afraid to go to God. Confess it. Because don't we have that beautiful promise? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So temptation is another area that sometimes we can begin to think that God doesn't see. But our God does see. God knows. And even in our times of temptation, we're crying out to the Lord. But let me read a beautiful promise that God gives to us. It's from Psalm 56:8. You number my wanderings, O God. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Do you get that picture? When we're sorrowful or we're tempted, we're frustrated with ourselves, we don't know what's going on, and we're crying before the Lord, I get this beautiful picture of him reaching out with his holy bottle and catching those tears and holding them, because those tears are a remembrance in him. They're crying out to me. They're sorrowful. They're asking for my help. I will remember, because even in temptation, God sees. God cares. So you are not alone, even in your time of temptation, because your God sees. And it's so powerful to know that. What about with sickness? How many of you have experienced sickness in your life personally? Most of us have. Some of us are going through long-term health situations. Some of it not of our own making, some of it of our own making because of our bad way of eating or doing. But God has got a promise. He says he's the God that heals all of our diseases. So how come we're not healed all the time? How come it takes so long? Do you remember the story of Jesus at the pool of Bethesda when he sees a man that had been crippled for 38 years? 38 years he couldn't walk. He couldn't take care of himself. And Jesus asked him a strange question. Do you want to be healed? Do you know, sometimes if it's a long-term situation, We've gotten so used to it that we kind of use that as an excuse for not doing what we could be doing if healing took place. And so this man has been asked a profound question: do you want to be healed? And in John chapter 5, with the agreement of the man himself, Jesus reaches down and says, take up your bed and walk. He hasn't walked in 38 years. And Jesus said, stand up and walk. Get up, take up that bed, and walk. Because God saw the depth of him. God saw how he had gotten used to looking at everything but God and everything but God's possibilities. And when God approached him, he had to change his sight. He had to change what he had been thinking, what he had been doing, what he had been believing about himself, so that when God says, stand up and walk, he was able to stand on his feet, take up his bed, and walk. Now, how about you? If you're going through a physical struggle, maybe the question God is going to ask you, maybe he's going to ask me, do you want to be healed? You've heard my story of when I had this major wreck 9 years ago and I was paralyzed. That was a question that was on my heart even. And I said, God, if this is what you have planned for my life, it's okay. But if not, do what is impossible to be done. And you've heard me even this morning, 6.5 hours later, I got to shuffle out of that bed. But I'm telling you, it's been a work in progress. I don't know if any of you understand the working of the mind, and I don't fully either. But in this process, I've learned that if nerves aren't working right, you can actually train the brain to send them another route. It's a threefold process that you're probably familiar with in the Word of God. You have to think it, you have to speak it, and you have to do it. Now, I couldn't do it for a while, so I needed help in the doing, didn't I? But over time, I was able to start to do things a little bit more. But it's still, I'm thinking, I'm saying it out loud, so I'm hearing the faith words, and I'm doing it. And I've shared with you, it's just been the last 6 months, and some of you have seen me over this time. Looky here, I can raise this arm and put it down without a struggle. A couple of months ago, I was able to raise this one. Looky here. Brother Marcus used to pick on me because I'd raise my arm and it would get stuck. And he said, no, she's not voting twice, it's just there. But now I can put it back down. So the brain has gotten used to the fact that my arms are supposed to lift. Now my job is to get strength in my upper arms. A couple of years ago, I couldn't lift anything. Now I can lift 35 pounds up to here without any problem. I go, ew. Now I used to throw 60 pounds. I'm not saying that I want to do that anymore because I realize that probably wasn't the smartest thing to be able to do. But I can lift 35 pounds without a struggle. I carried 32-count cases of water into the house yesterday and put them down. My doctors always used to tell me, don't do more than 12. I can do 32. Now, I don't know what you would think about that, but I see that what I had to remedy within my heart is, I want to be well. I want to be healed. And God is saying, okay, take up your bed and walk. It may take a while, but you're going to be able to do it. And so now I'm trusting that the strength will come. In Luke chapter 13, we see a woman that was bent over for 18 years. Do you know of anyone who has a problem, bent over, they're hurting, they struggle to walk? Can you imagine that she was bent over for 18 years? And the seeing, knowing, and loving Jesus saw her and healed her, and she was able to stand up straight. Can you imagine what that felt like? Sometimes when we do different things and we strain our back and we go, ooh, and we kind of bend over to protect those nerves and those muscles, So we can kind of get a picture of what she was feeling, but she stood up after 18 years. But it's not just the physical healing. In Luke, we see the man who was lowered down from a roof that had not been able to walk. And Jesus didn't say, "Be healed." His first words were, "Your sins are forgiven you." Sometimes the healing that you and I need are the healings of emotions, the healings and the freedom from guilt. The guilt, the problem that the enemy puts on us, the condemnation he wears us down with, can cause physical problems. If you've ever read anything about how the mind and the emotions can affect the body, you will understand that if somebody is burdened down heavily with their sin, they eventually get to the point that they cannot move, they can't walk. And Jesus saw this man's heart and knew the healing that he needed to have, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And in that culture, somebody who couldn't walk, it was considered that their problem was due to either their sin or the sin of a family member. In this case, whatever the sin was, we're never told what it was, but Jesus healed the heart, healed the mind, and then said, "Take up your bed and walk." You see again that our God sees. Our God knows. He understands. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And really, above all things, he's asking us, are you willing to receive what I have to offer? But what about those cases when somebody dies, even though we've prayed for their healing? Don't you think that death is that permanent healing? They're not struggling anymore. And if they are in the Lord, they will be resurrected and have a perfect body. But from that moment that the Lord gives them rest, they will never know another moment of pain, another struggle. Sometimes it's just merciful for the Lord to let them go to sleep and say, "Your healing will come when I come back to get you. But I'm going to give you rest." So even though we grieve, we hurt when we lose someone, we can understand that God is actually knowing the best for that person. So we trust the Lord for his knowledge, his understanding that goes beyond ours. Amen? Now, what about family? Oh, boy. The most difficult struggle you and I have in our Christian walk is with our family. We'd be lying if we didn't say that. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are given instructions. Wives, you're supposed to submit to your husbands. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as unto the church. Fathers, you're supposed to not bring your children to wrath. Children, you're supposed to obey your parents. But we know that doesn't always work. It's not always there. In 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, we see a dear woman who is grieved over the fact that she cannot bear children. As I'm telling you this, I would like you to put your hands in a little circle, close one eye, and just look through that circle. Look around the room. And you'll notice that your vision is limited to just what you can see through that little circle. Hannah had no idea what God had in store. She's crying before the Lord. She is so engrossed in her tears and in her sorrow that even though her lips are moving, the voice won't come out. Have you ever been in a position where you hurt so bad or were so desperate, the mouth is moving but the sound won't come? Hannah was praying that way, and Eli the priest accused her of being drunk. "Woman, what are you doing here before the altar drunk?" And she says, "No, I'm calling out to my God, and I'm asking him to bless me with a child, with a son." You know, God blessed her with the son, and his name was Samuel. What do you know about Samuel? Two books are written about the adventures of Samuel. This is the first child that God gave to Hannah. He blessed her with others, but Samuel was that child granted to her by her supplications and her prayers. And of course, we know that he was the one that anointed Saul, also David. So even though Hannah couldn't see everything, as we can't see everything when we do this, look at what God did in the future. Samuel the prophet was the one that God granted to her. And you know the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi and her family have to go out of Bethlehem. They go to the Moabite nation. The husband dies. Her sons die. She's left with two pagan daughters-in-law. And one of them does go back to her family. But you know, Ruth stays with Naomi and says that beautiful statement, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." And so Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem. They are poor. They have nothing except for the home that belonged to her son, her husband. They're hungry. And there was a custom back in those days that those that were poor could go into the wheat fields and gather up the last little remnant that was left after the harvesters had come and taken the main part of it. And so if you know the story of Ruth, she's in the field that happens to belong to Boaz. Boaz sees Ruth, he falls in love with her, and he marries her. But what you may not understand is Boaz was kinsman to Naomi's husband. And there was a principle there in Israel that if the widow had a relative, that relative was to redeem the widow's rights. And through Ruth, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, redeemed the rights of Naomi and granted to Ruth a son. The son was named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David, who became king. So in all that Naomi was going through, she saw, call me sorrow, call me Mara, but God says, no, I'm going to grant you to be the great-grandmother of a king. What a story! Do you think God saw everything? What you and I need to know with our family members, with our children, with all, when we have children that are disobedient to the Lord, God has given a wonderful promise in Isaiah. I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save your children. So moms, dads, grandparents, be encouraged that whatever the story is that your children and mine have to go through, when you've raised them in the Lord, you've got a promise. He's going to save your kids. And so God sees the struggle that we have. He knows. And in love, he sees. And in love, he works. Because God sees and God cares. Now, this present time in which we live, you've read it in Matthew 24. You read it in Daniel. You see it in the prophecies in Revelation. We are in these days, aren't we? They're a little bit scary. We're seeing all the time of people in Ukraine being bombed, a maternity hospital being bombed, and parents and children dying. And it breaks our hearts, and it can cause us to fear. But let me tell you a little story that has happened in Ukraine in the last couple of weeks. We're going to go back to World War II. If you know anything about World War II, you know that Hitler was out to kill all the Jews. Didn't matter if they had German, citizenship or not, they were Jews. They were to be killed. They were to be destroyed. And a family, a Jewish family, had to run for their lives, and they happened to have run to Ukraine. There was a family there in Ukraine that showed mercy on this Jewish family, took them into their home and helped them to be established and helped them to resettle themselves in Ukraine. Let's look at what happened now. Are the Ukrainians on the run? Are they having to leave their country for safety? Let me share with you that in World War II, that German family could only see like this. The Ukrainian family that took them in could only see like this. But here in the year 2022, as a Ukrainian family is leaving their home, they go to Poland, and a German family says, you know what? I need to take a family in remembrance of what was done for us. We're going to take a Ukrainian family in. Do you know how God led them to the descendants of the Ukrainian family that took their ancestors in? So 70 plus years later, the German family runs to Ukraine. Ukrainian family takes them in. They settle. They grow up. They have success in Germany. Now with the things going on in Ukraine, they decide to adopt and take care of a Ukrainian family, and it just happens to be the same family members of those that took in their family 70 plus years ago. Do you think God saw up the road that God cares? It's so miraculously to see how God works in this situation. It's tragic. It's scary. But through it all, we're seeing these little miracles and how these two families have a history that they weren't even aware of until last week. Yesterday, we got a post from Joe Sloan, who works with Hope Channel, and a rocket was sent to an Adventist church in Ukraine. The rocket didn't go off. And though the church had minor damage, they're able to disarm that rocket that would have blown up the whole place. Isn't that amazing? How a rocket that was supposed to destroy the entire church landed in the yard and didn't go off. You see, even in these situations, when you and I are looking from afar and it can cause us to be apprehensive about what God is doing, look at what he's doing in the midst of it all. I don't know if you're familiar with Brother Mark Finley, a wonderful pastor in our church, but he gives a word and he says, in Christ, we are delivered from the crippling fears. At times we may experience the emotion of fear, but we will not be paralyzed by fear because our confidence is in God who triumphs over our fears. Pastor Derek Morris, who is president of the Hope Channel, says, don't fix your eyes on the current crisis. You will be overwhelmed by it. Fix your eyes on the coming Christ. You will be overjoyed. So, saints of God, God sees, God cares, God knows everything about you. And as he promised Noah, when I see the rainbow, I will remember. God has made a covenant that he remembers. And even though we may forget it and we may wonder, God never forgets his covenant promise. He never forgets what he has told you in his word that he will do. And in Matthew, when he says there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be famines, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, he says, but do not be afraid, because I'm going to bring in a time when the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. So in the encouragement from Dr. Morris, the encouragement from Pastor Mark Finley, We are here today to say, God sees, God knows. And even in our Sabbath school lesson, we saw today that it is our job to focus in on the coming of Jesus Christ and to serve him acceptably. That's with a heart that praises, a heart that surrenders, a heart that says, no matter what else is going on, God, I'm going to trust you. Sister White says, the spirit of fear is stirring the nations from one end of the earth to another, or the spirit of war, rather. God's chosen people will stand unmoved. Satan and his host cannot destroy them for the angels. We have angels watching over us. The angels excel in strength, and they will protect them. God will protect you. And he's even told us what to do in these final days, hasn't he? He's given us direction, but the most important direction you and I have is to not blame God or to say, God, you don't understand. I wonder if God sees and knows. You can be confident, my friends, that God sees, God knows, God cares, God empowers, God strengthens, God protects, God sees, he knows, and he will take care of his people. The question is, are you one of God's people? You didn't just come to church, because church can't save you. A relationship with Jesus Christ is what it will take. So whatever your relationship has been with the Lord up to this point, draw closer, pray more, surrender all the things that may be troubling you or keeping you away from the Lord, because now you know God sees, God knows, God cares. God will lead you through. And this isn't a pie in the sky. It's the promise from Almighty God. Amen and amen.
Where's my pianist? What, do we have the music? Yeah. Do we have the music for the hymn? Okay. Thank you. It's hymn number 181, if you want to look into your hymnals. Oh, there she is. Yeah.